I don't know which one I should sit in. Like, I don't know. It's like getting in the car or like who's driving. Anyway, we're glad to be here this morning. And I'm Micah. This is Kate. And why don't you grab your, you guys have Bibles, right? We still do that at church, right? Grab your Bibles. Open up to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. And if you don't have a Bible, I was told there's probably going to be one up on the screen, so you have the biggest Bible. And you could probably, I don't know if you do this, but like anybody who's using their phone or an iPad this morning for their Bible, right? Yeah, you can do that. Like if you don't have one right now, just go on there and you could Google Bible. I'm sure you'd pull it up. Or YouVersion Bible app, get a Bible, Psalm 127. And what I want to do this morning is I want to just read the scripture, pray, and then just talk a little bit about, you know, what we're going to do this morning as we dig into the Word and share a little of our story. So let's look at Psalm 127. Just want to read through it. It says this, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them, and they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Oh, Lord, we're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful to, Lord, just to come and to draw near to you, to worship you this morning, to be, Lord, part of your family, just even as we were singing, to be a child of God, to be part of the household, the family of God. And what an incredible thing that is, Lord. You've brought us near. We were separated. We were distant from you, but you reached down. You redeemed us. You saved us. And Lord, we're here to worship you, to glorify you. And God, we pray that you'd minister to each heart, each life here today, Lord. We want to draw closer to you. We want your word to speak to us. We want your Holy Spirit to move upon our hearts. And Lord, to just have free reign in this place. You walk through the midst of your church. You're walking through the midst of this place today, Lord. And we need you here. And we just, Lord, want to surrender our hearts afresh to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we begin, we just want to take a few minutes to introduce ourselves, tell you a little bit about who we are, because, you know, that's kind of important sometimes. Like, who's this guy up there, you know? I mean, anyway, my name's Micah Chapel. I'm the pastor, senior pastor at Calvary Chapel of Greece, you know, about 20 minutes that way towards the lake. If you drive into the lake, you've gone too far. Just back out of the water, and, you know, that's where we live, and we minister in the community there, and we're so thankful where God's planted us there. And this is my beautiful bride, Kate.
I'm Kate, yeah. It's actually, I was thinking, it's so funny how often people say Greece like the country when we say where we're pastors at, like if we're at a retreat or something.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even occur, at least
yeah,
to me.
Yeah, because we live here, like, you know, you guys know that. We say Greece, like, nobody here was like, they're from the country Greece. But isn't it funny, outside of Rochester, people are like, I've gotten emails. Like, I'm doing a book report at my Christian school about churches in Greece, you know? And I'm like, no, this is the wrong place, you know. Sometimes I just want to mess with them, be like, you know, here's what we do. No, anyway, but yeah, so we're here today. Pastor Dave, he gave me a call a number of weeks ago. We'd run into each other. Our kids played basketball together, and we'd seen each other. And not long after that, he gave me a call up, texted me, and we ended up talking. And he just, the Lord put me and Kate and our family on his heart for today. And we're just really glad to be here. You know, we know a lot of you. We see familiar faces. It's so great to be around the body of Christ. And we're just thinking, what a blessed church you guys are. Like, what a blessed family. Like, you know, we came in here and, you know, just walked in and, like, greeted at the door. And
I mean, we've known Dave and Shauna for, is it like a million years?
Yeah, probably.
Something like that. I mean, it feels like forever. They're just so sweet. You guys are so blessed. Just with your pastor, and
yeah,
he gives you the word. That's what you guys need and desire, and so
yeah. And we were blessed, you know. And just as when Dave called up and was like, "Hey, I've been praying, and God put you on my heart," and you know, just thinking that your pastor is praying for you, Isn't that a wonderful thing? Your pastor loves you. Your pastor is praying for you. He's thinking about you. And so we're just so honored that, you know, he was thinking of us and invited us here. And we just want to let you guys know, man, what a blessing and an honor is to have a pastor who loves you, who's praying for you, who's giving you the word. And so, you know, today amen. And you know, I was thinking about that, and what's so awesome about Dave is Dave's all about Jesus. And you know, we're here today, and that's what we want to do. We want to give you guys Jesus and point to his word. We're going to keep it simple. We'll share a little bit from the word here, from Psalm 127. We're going to tell you a little bit about our story. You know, we'll talk about our kids. We have five. Dave, you guys got four, you know, so it's
you
like...
You should see us get out of the car, like, you know, even just in our neighborhood, it's like, whoop, whoop,
yeah, yeah,
whoop,
it's like we watched that car. Movie Sing, you know, and the lady with all the pigs. Anybody have kids? Netflix, get it, you know, if you have kids and
hilarious.
All of that. Anyway, we feel like that sometimes, but, you know, we're so blessed, and we're going to talk about a little bit about what God's done to add to our family. We've been involved with foster care for a while now and tell you about our story, but we thought Psalm 127 was just a great place to be because it talks about building a house. And, you know, God's into building a house. God's into family. And I was thinking because, you know, sometimes, you know, we can read some of this and we can look at this and think, well, wait a minute, you know, it's Mother's Day. I'm a single guy here, or, you know, maybe you're not married, or maybe, you know, you're not in a position in life where that defines you. And what's so great about God's word is God's word's for everybody. You know, God's building a house. God's building a family. And, you know, again, this is, you know, me being all preacher here, you know, I'm going to start like quoting scriptures left and right here. But I think of Ephesians chapter 2, and I just wanted to set this tone at the beginning because it says, we're no longer strangers. We're not foreigners. But we're fellow citizens with the saints, with the household of God. We're being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Jesus being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building being fitly framed together, it grows for a holy temple to the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Like, God's doing something. God's doing something in this house. God's doing something in this place where you're part of his family. We used to be something different, right? We used to not be saved. We didn't know the Lord. You know, and then there was a life before Christ, and now there's a life in Christ, and we've been brought into this thing called the church. And it's not a building, you know, brick and mortar and stones and paint. It's people. And we're here, and you look around, this is the people of God. And what he says here is God's doing something, and he's we're the house of God. You know, the habitation of God in the Spirit. And I think, what an incredible thing that is. And here, God's doing a work in his church. And to think, well, you know, we're talking about family, talking about mother. No, we're talking about God's house. We're talking about God's people today. And so I want you to know that God's got something for you in his word. I don't know where each one of you are at. You know, we're praying. Pastor Dave was praying for you guys. We're praying for you. But what I do know is that God wants to encourage you today. God wants to reveal to you his heart and his plan for your life and the things that he wants to do in you and in his church. And so we're going to kind of share a little bit about our story, but we're going to use Psalm 127 here kind of as like the springboard to talk about some things that God's been doing in us and maybe things that the Lord might want to do in your life and in your walk for him. So if you look at verse 1 in Psalm 127, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchmen do watch in vain." And so it's talking about building. Maybe your Bible says, "Unless the Lord builds a house." It talks about, you know, building a house like there and building a home. And it's kind of funny, you know, when we think about a home in our society. When we got married 11 years ago, we bought a house in the city. And, you know, we had a great time, you know, a wonderful neighborhood and all of that. People never wanted to come because we were like down in the city, and we actually had friends that were, it was like a double house apartment upstairs. We're like, it's totally safe. And like, you know, the week that they moved in, there's like a shooting on our street, you know, like we're like, this totally not normal. You know, neighbor was totally chill. He watched, you know, the Mets smoking his pot on the front porch, and you know, just a wonderful place to raise a family. And you know, the Lord moved us on from there as our family began to grow, and you were looking for a house, and you had like a list, right? What was your list?
A little bit. Well,
no, remember,
I wanted to have sidewalks.
Sidewalks.
I wanted to be nearby Wegmans.
Nearby Wegmans.
And nearby an expressway. You know, like
get to places.
Too far to get to places. And streetlights.
Streetlights.
That was my short list.
That was a short list, right? Yeah. Anybody have a list and you're looking for a house? Those were like, you know, none of that was like big yard, kitchen, all of that. It was like, really? Sidewalks? It's like, this is the deal breaker. Like, this is a wonderful house. Look at this. A kitchen is a pool. Sidewalks. Are we close to Wegmans, right? Can I get an amen for Wegmans, right? Yeah, hey, thank you, Jesus, that we're by. And we like literally, you know, and so, but we have these things. And my point is that we have things in our mind that we think about when we're thinking about a house, right? When we're thinking about a place. We want to have our family. We want to do life and all of these kind of things. In the world, it's filled with a lot of different ideas. And some of them are great. I love being by Wegmans, right? I liked where we used to be because we were close to Nick Tahoe's. And that was nice. When Kate was pregnant with Madeline and I'd be driving home from church into the city, she'd be like, I think the baby wants a garbage plate. I was like, hallelujah, Lord. This is my, I got to serve her. You know, this is death to self as a husband right here. You know, we don't have that anymore, but we got Wegmans and you can't go wrong with that. But anyway, we have these ideas and the world's filled with ideas, isn't it? Doesn't the world have an idea? Like you've got one of these things in your pocket, right? It's like a phone and you pull it up and you got the feed. I don't know what feed, you know, it could be Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or whatever. Any girls on Pinterest?
Come on.
Any guys on, like, seriously, anybody lying in church today, you know? Okay, there we go, right? And so you have these things, right? And we have this idea of what life and family should be. And that's all great. But what we want to talk about is that I believe God has an idea. Because sometimes we can look at those things and we can be disappointed. My life doesn't look like that. My house doesn't look like that. My home, my family. And we're trying to compete with an image and with a picture that God never designed for us. Right? And what God has is something so greater. God's got a house that he's building and there's a foundation. Man, it's his word. A foundation, you know, we read that verse in Ephesians like there, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. That's who we need to be built on. That's what our life needs to be built on. And what it says there, unless the Lord's building the house, then all the work that we're doing, it's vain. It's empty. You know that word vain? It just means empty. And you kind of, I think a great way to illustrate that is, and this is family, so you guys should get that, is soap bubbles. Anybody play with bubbles?
Or with their kids.
With their kids,
okay,
with bubbles. Can...
Probably not by yourself.
You do it with your kids, right? Like we do that at home. Like, you know, Kate will go get, you know, we'll make it. But the stuff they buy, what do they do with the store soap that's like so much better?
It's just magic, you know. Magic or something.
Yeah, and you can blow the bubbles. So cool. In fact, this winter, Kate's dad, and they're sitting over there. They're actually here today. But they want to do this thing where you do frozen bubbles. Anybody do the frozen bubbles?
Like you got to wait till the temperature's low enough.
Temperature's low enough, and you can do a bubble, and it like is frozen. It's just a really cool, Google it. YouTube
it. It's science.
It's science. It's really cool. But, you know, bubbles, they're really shiny, and they're glimmery, and they're really cool. But what happens when you touch them? They just pop. There's nothing. And kind of this idea when the Bible talks about vanity and emptiness, think in your mind, soap bubbles, right? It's just, it's empty, it's nothing. It's something, you know, that's just not going to last. And so what we want is we want Jesus, we want to be on the same page as Jesus. We want to have his heart, we want to have his mind for what he's doing in our lives and what he's doing in our family. When Kate and I first started, you know, building our family and, you know, we wanted to have kids, we had those friends that they had kids first. You know what I'm talking about? And we're sitting there and we're talking with them and they look at us. You remember this?
Yes.
Yeah. I remember where we were sitting on their couch and they said, so when you guys have kids, are you going to find out, you know, like the gender, boy, girl? How many found out? How many have kids here? Who's got kids? Raise your hand. Who found out? Right? Who didn't? Anybody like you were totally surprised? All right. The 10 of you. Okay. All right. Everybody else like, no, we're planning. So they look at us and they say, are you guys going to find out? And here's what we did. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go. No.
Yes.
And then we did this.
Oh. Well, we should probably talk about that.
About those things, right? And for the record, we did find out with the first one, and then the rest we haven't, you know. So it's fun.
It's fun both ways.
Both ways, you
but
know.
If,
so
I mean, it is more fun to not find out. For the record.
For the record. We're gonna vote, pass our vote in that size. But, you know, I was thinking... You know, we have a plan, we have an idea, but we needed to be on the same page. You know, and that page, that foundation, that's Jesus Christ. That's what we want to build on. That's what the house needs to build on. That's what Christianity is all about. See, we're everybody here today, you're building. You're building in your life. You're building on a foundation. And I think it's in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, where Jesus gives that parable about the house built on the rock and the sand. You guys heard that before? You know the song, "Don't Build Your House on the Sandy Land." It might look kind of nice, you know, but you'll have to build it twice. You'll have to build your house once more because the winds, the wave, the storm, it's going to come. And see, we're using kid illustrations because we have five kids. That's all we know. You know, one day,
we don't get out much,
one day we'll get out of these things. So you know, a lot of Veggie Tales here, a lot of, you know, Blue's Clues. No, they don't watch that anymore, but too advanced nowadays. But you know, the Lord's building this house there, and we're building, each one of us. And you could be building, and you're either building on a rock or you're building on the sand. And what the Bible talks about building on the rock, that's the person that hears God's word and obeys God's word. Because we say, how do I build on? I want to build on the rock. I don't want things to crumble. I don't want things to fall apart. I want a good foundation. And maybe you're just beginning in that, right? Or you that's something that you want in your life one day. You want to know that you want to build on the rock. But you could be in the place where, man, I've been building on sand. I've been propping this thing up. Well, what we need to do is go back to the drawing board and come back to Jesus and begin to build on him. Well, how do we build on Jesus? Well, Jesus interprets it for us. He says, the wise man that dug deep and laid the foundation, he's the person that built on the rock is the person that hears God's word and obeys God's word. You know what that doesn't say? The person that hears God's word and agrees with God's word. Whoa. That's not building on the rock. Do you know that? Because you know, we can, I've done it in my own life. You know, we're it's like, oh, amen, hallelujah, pastor, right? You know, preach it, amen. Woo, yeah, you know, Jesus. And we agree with it. But it's one thing to agree with God's word, and it's another thing to walk through those doors out there and to step out in faith and to believe God and his promises. And so as we began to build, we had our share of storms because storms come. You know, that's part of life. And, you know, we had three kids, Maddie, Isaiah, Jordan. We didn't even, like, see them when they got here. They just kind of ran into that gymnasium. Like, we literally were putting the babies in the nursery, and we turned around, and they were gone. So
thank you, Eileen,
yeah,
by the way.
Thank you, Eileen. And they just are having fun and have three kids.
They're 8, 6, and 4.
8, 6, and 4 right now. Mm-hmm. And add halves if you talk to them because that's very important.
Oh, that's important.
But, yeah. You know, as God began to build our house, you know, we after that we have two babies. And, you know, sometimes we say we lost them. We didn't lose them. They're home with Jesus. We know where those arrows are. They already hit their target. And they're home with the Lord. And we had storms. We had things that happened in our life where, you know, okay, this is going great. We have these kids, you know, and, you know, didn't have any problems before that. And then, you know, it's something incredible to drive your wife to the hospital. You know, just the fear, the anxiety, the things that come related to that. And it happens again a second time. We're like, Lord, what's going on? You know, Kate was 5 months pregnant when, you know, the second baby went home to be with Jesus. You know, that it was heartbreaking. But I think about those things, and that's part of my story. That's part of our story. But I'm really glad that we were built on the rock. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm really glad that the Bible says that we have a hope that's an anchor for our souls, and it's Jesus Christ. He's the one that, you know, he gives, he takes away, right? We can look at how the Lord's added to our life. We can look at how the Lord's taken from our life, but we can still lift our hands to heaven like Job and say, blessed be your name. Because, amen, yeah, because we know that our Redeemer lives. We know that we're going to stand with him, we're going to see him, and we're going to be with those babies, and we know that Papa's already holding them up there. He always liked to see the kids first. Amen, praise God to that, you know? And so, you know, the Lord's used that in our life to be a microphone where now we can share the comfort that God's comforted us with others. But through this, God began to move on our lives, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, and I remember clearly in the summer of 2015, I'm washing the dishes, and the way that our house faces, we get to see the sunset every night, and I just love that. And so I'm washing the dishes, and we're still kind of grappling with the fact that we had a second miscarriage, and so I'm looking out the window, and you know, we were kind of at a point where it's like, okay, we had a peace, we didn't understand why this had happened again, But we knew that God was with us and had a plan. And so I'm you know, getting stuff settled down for the night and washing the dishes. And I'm looking out the window and I'm like, Lord, what do you want us to do? Like, where do we go from here? I trust you. I know that you're with us. I don't know why this happened, but where do we go from here? Because I didn't want to assume either way and like be immobilized in fear or get ahead of him in any way. And so I just was kind of thinking about that. And I heard him say in like this, the most still small voice, I heard him say, what if I wanted to build your family in a different way? And it gave me real pause. And so I kind of like, I put the dishes down and I said, like, it took me a minute. And I said, okay, Lord, whatever that means, I'm in. And it made me think of how in Luke chapter 1, when Gabriel comes to Mary, and he tells her that this amazing thing is going to happen. And it was, you know, totally blowing her mind. She's this young girl, just serving the Lord, loving him. And this angel Gabriel comes and says to her that you know, you're going to carry God's son, and it's going to be a miracle, and she doesn't understand. And what does she say? When Luke 1:38, it's one of my favorite verses. She says, be it unto me according to your word. Whatever you say, Lord, I want to be on board with that. I don't get it, but I'm human, and I know you know that I'm human, and so I trust you. And so we just, you know, I had shared that with Micah, and I said, I think God wants to do something, build our family in a different way. And I say that at the same time with the sentiment of we were content. It's not like we needed to quickly, like, replace those babies that we lost or anything. It wasn't, you know, that we needed to feel like we had to get pregnant again or anything like that. We just were at a place where we didn't understand what was going on, but we said, Lord, what do you want? How are you building this? And so it's interesting, you know, a couple years later, here we are, you know, seeing how God has done that. And the fact that he had said to my heart, build, like this verse that we're looking at, that he does want to build something. He's not just waiting around for us to get our act together. He's actively seeking us and actively eager to show us what his will is. And so when he had kind of laid that on our heart, we began praying like, okay, Lord, well, what does that mean? And so over the next few months, we started to get our hearts stirred up for foster care and for the care of the orphan. Like, the Bible talks a lot about caring for orphans and fatherless. And so, like with anything, we just, again, we're praying and we said, Lord, okay, well, what does that mean? And so the first place I thought of to get in touch with was a pregnancy center, so like a crisis pregnancy center. And so I called around a couple places and I said, listen, my family and I are interested in helping moms who are not able to care for their kiddos. Look, do you have any point of reference for us to go from here? What can you point me in the right direction? And the person I had spoken to said, you know, you could get involved with foster care through your county. And there's a couple different ways you can get involved with foster care. And we're not up here saying you all need to do that just because that's what we did. But we're just, you know, explaining what God did in our family. And so we, you know, got in touch with people in the county. We went to an information meeting. And we just kind of kept walking through the doors that the Lord opened up for us to get involved with this amazing, crazy journey.
Tell me about that first the Lord, like, gave us a long time ago. And then...
Mm-hmm. So one of the verses the Lord had given us way back, even before we started having our kiddos, was in Psalm 92:13, where it says that those that are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of their God. And so the idea behind that is, we felt like the Lord had said to us, any children that I'm going to give you, however that happens, he wanted us to plant them in his house, plant them in his word and in his ways, and then he was going to do the work down the road for them to flourish. And I love how God he has stuff for us to do, and then he's going to do the work too. He's not going to do what he calls us to do, and we don't have to do what he's supposed to do. He works in the spiritual, and we work in the practical, but he also moves supernaturally natural. And so when he, you know, laid that on our heart, that was our prayer for our kiddos, and always has been. And so as we were praying about getting involved with foster care, he had brought that verse to our attention again. And it was interesting as we dug up what that word planted means. If you look at, like, the background behind it, it actually means transplanted. So, like, taking something from somewhere else and planting it somewhere else. Now, I'm the first to admit I am no gardener. I can't even keep the cactus alive. Like, it's bad. And so again, but I understand the basics of gardening. And so the idea being taking something that was grown somewhere else and planting it somewhere where it will eventually flourish. And so, again, as we kind of started praying about that and seeking his face on that, and we took time to pray and fast, because this is a huge decision for not just for us, but our family, our kids, our extended family, our church family. And it was amazing how he just kept bringing us back to verses about caring for the fatherless. And then one time we were driving, we were probably going downtown for a date or something, and there's this huge billboard on 490, and it said, interested in getting involved in foster care, or foster families needed or something, and I was like, dude.
Yeah.
It's so, like a billboard. Like
we're not saying, like, you know how, like, you know how it goes? Like, we're like, God, if you want to do this, like, I need an airplane flying with a banner through. Right. Like, literally, it was crazy. Like, we had already started to, like, take
because
steps.
Because of his word.
Like, because of his word, you know? Like, we're reading the word, and God's, like, you know, reading, like, you know, hey, I'm a father of the fatherless. You know, God sets the lonely in families and brings those that are bound with chains. And, you know, he brings them out. We're like, okay, God, you want to do this, and we're like pursuing this, and God's given us scripture, and literally I'll never forget that. We're driving down, I'm like, seriously, a billboard? Like, you know, like, and to me it's like that's the, you know, that secondary confirmation where God just kind of winks, like, yeah, you know, I'm in this, right?
And there were other friends of ours who, you know, would like post on Facebook that they were doing stuff with foster care, and again, just little indications in stuff we were already doing, you know, in walking with him. So it wasn't like we had to reach far, you know?
Yeah. But we were, this wasn't like, and the other thing, it wasn't like this was like a Monday, then Tuesday we were like, you know, this like light shone from heaven, and we were like, oh, here's what we should do, God, you know? And there's time, right? You know that, right? You know how that works in your life and in our lives. It's like, you know, you're meditating on these things, you're rolling them over in your heart and your mind, and you're praying and you're seeking the Lord, and like Kate said, in a supernaturally natural way where, you know, God's putting these things on her heart. And we're different people, like me and her, you know, you can tell, you know long curly hair, beautiful, and then there's this guy over here, you know, but and we're different in the sense of, you know how the Bible in Psalm 32 talks about, you know, us wanting to be led by his eye, and he wants to lead us with his voice. And then it says, don't be like the horse and the mule. Sometimes, like, we try to go back and forth between horse and mule, you know? I'll be the dumb donkey, you know what I mean? Sometimes, right? You know, because, like,
I can get impatient, like the horse, and that verse is talking about, like, the horse needs to kind of be tethered back. And I'm like, let's do stuff, let's go, let's pull the trigger, let's do stuff. But I mean, and there's a place for that, but it's not always the right thing, that there's time to pause.
I'm the donkey. I'm sitting there. I don't know about this. Any husbands, your donkeys here? You know what I mean? Like, you know, but it can be different. You know what I mean? Like, it could be the husband or their wife, but sometimes you're like, yeah, let's do this, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then the other one's like, and I think God balances us that way in such an, you know, it's good to have that. But ultimately, the horse and the donkey, one of them has to be prodded, one of them has to be directed and held back with the bit and bridle. But the point of that is that God wants, you know, God says, hey, don't be like that, how about you just let me lead you? And as process of time went on, with all of our donkey and mule stuff aside, you know, God led us, and we were able to hear his voice and to read his word and to just be a part of what's going. So we stepped out in faith, you know. It was an info meeting that we found out about, and
then we got an application, and we put it in, and then we were approved for a home study, and so a county worker came out and, you know, checked our house and met the kids, and
that's nerve wracking.
A little bit. I mean, I try hard to keep our house relatively clean. I mean, people live there. There's seven of us, you know, now.
But they're like judging your house.
Well,
you know?
but at the same time,
are we safe? I mean, we've kept three kids alive, but like
pretty much,
you know, they're like. You know, I mean, like, you know, got enough fire. I never knew how many fire detectors they want in your house. We got them, like, all over the place now. Like, that thing goes up, like, you know, everybody's going to know, you know,
it's
anyway.
True. Yeah, it's true.
But
so, yeah, so we had the home study, and then we began our classes, and then we were licensed in April of 2016.
Yeah.
And again, Mike had mentioned this before, but I just, maybe you can jot it down, look it up later. One of the verses that really spoke to us was Psalm 68. Verses 5 and 6, and it talks about how the Lord sets the lonely in families. And it was such a cool way for the Lord to just minister to us, because I think as we were learning more and more about caring for these kiddos in needs and reaching out to these families, it's a little nerve-wracking. I mean, it's a big deal. These kids are coming from really difficult situations, and one of the things that the Lord had ministered to me, you know, as I'm kind of worrying and like, is this foolish? Have we bitten off more than we can chew? Is this going to be too hard for our kiddos that we had at the time? And he reminded me of how Moses was kind of worried about what the Lord is calling him to do. And so Moses says to him, "What, you know, how can I do this?" And God says to him, "What's in your hand?" And at the time, what was he doing? He was leading sheep around. And so God said, he said to me, "What's in your hand?" And I said, "Diapers and sippy cups and a picture Bible." And he said, "That's exactly what some kids need." That's what they need. They need a mom. They need a family for a little while, for a long term, somewhere in between. And I said, you know what, Lord, you're right. What's in my hand right now is useful for you. And so, okay, again, going back to Luke chapter 1, be it unto me according to your word and your will. Whatever you want, Lord, this is what I've got to offer you. If you can use that, I'm blessed to be on board with that. And so that was just a really cool way the Lord had kind of confirmed that.
Yeah. And we just kind of stepped out in faith. We began to pursue those things. And, you know, our heart was just stirred. Like, we knew, you know, God's moving. You know, as we take those steps, he's confirming things in his word. And our heart, like, you know, we're at the point where you're in this and you're looking at the situation. And if you don't know about it, there are kids and families in need of homes right this minute. You know, from every age all the way up to 18 years old. And as we began to be stirred for this, our heart is like, Lord, give us just every single kid. Like, it will take them all, because you see the heartache, you see the pain, you see the brokenness. And you know, yeah, I know this is going to be hard. I know this is going to be difficult. But God, they need you so much. And our hearts are, you know, just stirred in this way. And what's interesting, it's not like we didn't care before. You know, it's not like we were just like, man, who cares about that? Like, it wasn't on our radar. It wasn't something we were aware of. But as God began to stir our hearts and just to open up our eyes to what was going on, we just began to realize, you know what? Here's a way, God, we can be your hands and feet in this world. And right here. Like, right in Monroe County, right in our city and in our town and right in our neighborhoods, is, Lord, we can be a vessel for you to bring Jesus into the life of a family or a kid. And, you know, so God did that. And you know, there's worries, there's concerns, you know, what about our kids? And, you know, is it going to be hard? Are you going to love them? And then what if they have to go back and all of these things? And this scripture right here where it says, you know, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain. Except the Lord keeps the city, they watch in vain. And it's vain for you. These are that word vain three times. To rise up early, to stay up, sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he gives his beloved rest. And we just kind of realize that, you know, we can worry about everything. That's what that speaks about, worry. You know, watching over the city, staying up late, getting up early, worrying how are these things going to work out. It's empty if we're doing it on our own. But we know that we're his beloved. You know, it says there he gives his beloved rest. And Lord, as we pursue and we have all these questions, and that can be for anything that God wants you to put your hand to. We can, well, what about this? And how's this going to work out? And I'm certain about these things. And it's like, wait a minute. You're his beloved. You're his child. He wants to give you rest. He wants to give you peace. He's going to watch over your life. He's going to watch over your family. And he began to encourage us in that. And we realized we're going to walk by faith. Because sight would tell us, well, you know, I can't be, you know, what if this happens, or what if this goes on? And I've got to make sure this happens. Guess what? I can't be on top of everything all the time, because I'm not God. Hey, that was a quick amen, you know, that I'm not God. You know, but you know how that is, right? Because sometimes, you know, we get that confused, because God is God. He's the one that's infinite. He's the one that's all-knowing and all-powerful. He's the one that knows the end from the beginning. And the Bible calls us to walk by faith and not by sight. Sometimes I think, I want to walk by sight. I want to know what's happening. I want to know where this is going. I want to know how things are going to turn out. I want to know how everything's going to work out. Well, that's not faith. Right, at sight. And the problem is, you can't see everything. You can't know everything. You can't control every circumstance. And so you try to, and it's emptiness, because you think, well, if I do this, then this won't happen. If I do this, then that won't happen. But the problem is, you don't know all the variables. But guess what? There's somebody that does, isn't it? Mm-hmm. There's somebody, his name's Jesus Christ. Right? He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the one that lives and reigns forever on high. He's the one that's in my heart and my life, and he's the one that says, trust me, look to me. And we say, but I don't know. But we're putting our hands in the one that does know. Sometimes we think, well, I'll walk by sight. This makes sense, because I can control it. Well, the problem is, you can't control it. But we walk by faith, and we put it in the hands of the one who is control. And when things look out of control, we say, God, we've been giving this to you, Lord. You know, help us. You know, help us to see what you're doing. And you know, he's done that. He's given us that rest. And, you know, it says here, children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. And they're like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. So are children, the children of the youth. You know, And God began to add to our family in a different way. We put our hands to this. It says they're a gift. You know, they're an assignment. That's really the idea. There's an assignment. We got 5 assignments right now. You know, we didn't know how many assignments we were going to have. You know, we thought maybe 3. Okay, this might be it. And, you know, as God says, hey, I want to build your house a different way, I've got another assignment for you. And so, you know, we got a call as we got certified, had some girls in our home.
We had 2 girls join us. They're sisters, and they were with us for about a month or so, a couple years ago. And then they ended up being placed back with some family members, which was good. And during that time, it seemed very busy at the time because they're the same age as our boys, and so it was like getting 2 sets of twins overnight. Because when you get called for a placement, it's pretty quick. It's like usually within hours or maybe a day or so. So you really got to be ready, which we knew ahead of time. And
yeah.
So they came and they stayed with us for about a month, and they stayed in our guest room and they, you know, clothes, and we spoiled them like crazy, and we just kind of absorbed them into our life, you know, and we brought them to church, and we did Easter with them, and we sang songs, and we read the Bible with them, and they had never heard the name of Jesus. They didn't know who he was.
What's God?
You know, yeah, they didn't know
what's God. What
meant.
Is that? Yeah.
They had never been to church before. They had no idea what that even meant or whatever. And so we did that. They saved us for about a month, and we did that, and it was a blessing. And to some degree, it's hard because it's like, I'm not sure what's going to happen down the road for those girls, but we pray for them still. We think about them, but we know that the seeds that we planted in their hearts, the Lord's gonna do a work in that.
And by the end, you know, they're like wanting to. Is today a church day? You know, are we going to church?
And we would explain, okay, it's only Sundays and Wednesdays that we're there.
Usually,
but we can have fun with Jesus every day, and let's go read our Bible or go sing songs. Mike would get out his guitar. We'd
be dancing around
like crazy, and just, you know, enjoying Jesus, because that's what Christians do, right? And teaching them His Word. And when we packed them up to head back to Grandma's house, we got them each their own picture Bible and wrote in there, and we sent photos and all that stuff, just so that they knew that their time here was happy,
or,
you know, their time with us was happy. And
we knew we could be a part, like, you know, we never know with this if it's going to be short-term or long-term, but what we realize is that, God, you want us to be a piece in their life. Mm-hmm. This might be the only Jesus they ever see. And maybe they're, you know, 5 years old or 6 years old or whatever it might be. But at some point, God, your word doesn't come back void. Mm-hmm. You know, and they might grow up. And what's so cool is over the last 2 years now, we've actually been able to kind of, you know, as they've kind of, you know, moved on and back with family and be able to hear how they're doing a little bit. And you know, it's getting bits and pieces. But from what we've heard, and we, you know, we ask, hey, have you heard from those guys? And, you know, the people involved in the county, and they talk about you guys all the time.
Years later, they
remember.
Yeah,
2 years later, and just
and
a short time, and just talk about the things that they did. And, you know, one of the girls, you know, they had seen my mom at basketball this year, remember? And she came up to my mom. Remember my mom and just the influence of the family and all of that. And they knew that. They remembered that. And we thought, wow, Lord, you're giving us that token that we know that time back then with those guys was worth it. And what's greater, you know, is we realize there's something bigger going on. As it's like, Lord, they're going back, you know, to a family, to a situation, to whatever it might be. And at first, our hearts are stirred for kids. But then what happens, our hearts began to burden is that there's a reason that kids are coming to our home. You know, there's brokenness in this world. Right? There's sin. There's destruction. There's, you know, it could be a number of reasons the kids ends up in care. You know, there could be, you know, drugs. There could be abuse. There could be domestic violence. There could be homelessness. There could be a death in a family. You don't know the circumstance or the situation a kid's coming from. But what we do know, no matter what it is, right, that family, what they need right now is Jesus. And now we've got an opportunity to be an instrument in this kid's life. But also as kind of things progress, we learn, man, we can be an instrument of grace because, God, you want to restore families. Mm-hmm. You know, and just kind of broadening the horizon of even like as the church and the body of Christ is how we can minister in our community to people in those situations. Maybe you can't bring kids into your home. Maybe that's not what God's called you to do, but maybe, you know, you can put your hand to whatever it might be. And, you know, since then, we have had another little girl come into our home. We got a call for a baby. She's 2 days old in the hospital, and it was like, you know, in the afternoon on a Friday, remember that? And get the phone call, and Kate calls me. And our kind of thing had always been when we get a call, we're going to tell them, we need to pray, give us like an hour, you know? And so we pray, and basically at 4:30, we were at the hospital and brought this little baby girl home with us.
She was 5 pounds, just this tiny nugget. And for reference, our other three kiddos were 8, 9, 10 pounds, and so and
almost
like,
11. Almost 11. 11 pounds. Yeah. The third guy.
I'm
come on,
very
don't
aware. and our children were all hairless as a grape, just no hair. And so, and our newest, you'll see if you see him later.
Yeah, she's here.
But she has this full head of hair, dark brown hair, and so she's like just so the opposite of everything we knew. And so we walk in and we sign some paperwork and talk to some people and we bring her home and we're just like looking at her,
she's
each
so
other
tiny,
like,
you know, and
what is happening? But okay, we'll thing. Do this, Lord, for however long, you know, this child needs care. And so she's now 20 months. She's still with us. And we just met this week with an adoption worker. So we're starting the process to adopt her, and which we're really excited for. It's cool too, even just seeing her story. Her name is Zariah, rhymes with Mariah, but with a Z. And
we didn't give her that name.
We didn't give her
the
name.
She was given.
Her bio parents gave her that name. And when we first got called about her, we wanted names are interesting. God has a vested interest in names. And so we looked up what that name means, and it means helped by God. And so we just found that so interesting that this little peanut of a child who has no idea, even now, no idea what's swirling around her, these decisions that are being made by people she'll never meet. All along the way, God has his hand on her life, and she is helped by God. He's with her. He's aware of her. And
she's with us now.
And God has a plan. You know,
and we didn't know that until very recently, because all along the way, you know, the goal in the heart, even of the county, and as a flawed system, we can look at the system and all of that. But the thing is they want to reunite families, you know, and that's their primary goal. And for Z, that's what we call her. Z, we call her Bird. You know, she's got a ton of nicknames. Our kids, I don't know how they get them, but they do. And she's our little bird. And it's because she's got this little fluffy hair, you know, like a little bird when she was a baby. But anyway, we didn't know that was going to happen, right? We didn't know. And this was a long journey of, you know, Lord, we're going to love her. We're going to take care of her. When we would meet the parents and we had opportunities to, you know, doctor's visits and just regular, all these kind of different times to be with them, that it didn't happen, you know. But what we know, God still wants to work in that family. We know we still have a voice, even as she's been freed for adoption now and she's going to be with us. We know they're still a part of her story, and there's still an opportunity that God has to bring redemption into their lives. And that's our heart. That's our prayer, you know, in all of this. But now, you know, she's with us, and, you know, we just thought it was so crazy that her name means helped by God. And like, God, you want to help this baby. And, you know, that verse, it says they're like arrows. You know, I think, you know, God, she's been helped by you. This is your little arrow. You know, and it says it's like an arrow in the hand of a mighty man, right? An arrow in the hand of a warrior. It's meant to hit a target. It's meant to accomplish something. It's meant to do something. You see, Lord, you've helped this baby. You brought this arrow and you put it in our quiver. You know, you transplanted this into our hands and in our care. And Lord, we want to shoot this arrow straight. We want this arrow to hit the target. We want this arrow to accomplish what you wanted. And you know, kids, that's what he's saying kids are. Your kids, anybody God brings into your life and your family, God's got a plan and a purpose for them to hit a target. And you know, I think about that. I don't want it to hit the wrong target. You know what the target's? Jesus, right? You know, that's what we're aiming at. All the other stuff, my target isn't, oh, I hope they're the best at this. I hope they do this. You know, I want great things for the lives of my kids. You know, we've all got things that we want for them. But I don't care about anything that the world wants. I care that they know Jesus, that they follow Jesus, that they live for Jesus. They have a heart for him. You know, and that they're built on that foundation, that they hit the mark. And, you know, I think when God sees a generation and we live in a hurt and broken world because of sin. And when God sees a generation that needs a preacher, that needs somebody to bring Jesus to this world, you know, and to bring his love, to bring his heart, to be his hands and feet. You know what? And you read through the Bible, what God does is he sends a baby. He sends Jochebed, a little Moses, in the midst of a world where babies are being murdered all around. How am I going to raise a child in this? What am I going to do with this kid? Right? He sends a little Samuel to a Hannah who'd been crying out to God,
Lord, I just want to have a child. I couldn't even get the words out. But God had a plan and a purpose for all of those years before to bring that little arrow into her life so that she could put it back in the hands of God. Mm-hmm. And that it could touch a generation. And it could raise up a leader and pour the oil over the head of a David that was going to bring forth the Messiah. And God wants to do that in your life. I don't know how. I'm not saying that every one of you is going to do foster care, have kids, or all of that, but I know you're part of God's house, and there's children of the womb, there's children that God adds to your family, and there's children of the Word. Amen? There's children of the Word. You know, there's a lot of little kids around here. There's people that they come to know Christ, and God wants to use you to be an influence in somebody's life that they could be discipled and follow Jesus and know Him and walk with Him. You know, the scope, you know, we're talking specifically about things in our life, but don't think God limits it to what, you know, what's happened in our life. You know, we're blessed. You know, it says, happy is the man whose quiver is full. We think the quiver's full right now. I mean, we're still in the hands of the Lord, whatever He wants, you know. We thought that before, but I heard somebody say, you know, your quiver's full when you're fully quivering, you know. But we're blessed because it says, you know, blessed is a man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We're not looking at what the world wants. We're delighting in His law, in His word. We're building on His foundation. And we're like, okay, God, this is what You're doing. You know, and everything we've been saying, I know we're going to wrap it up here in a minute. We're not saying this because we want you to think, wow, that Micah and Kate, they sure are, you know, some great people. You know, they're so awesome. They've done this or they do that. You know, it's not about us. It's about what God's doing. We want you to know that our God is great, that our Jesus is incredible, and that when you build your life on that rock, because we're all building, and God's building a house, and you're part of the house of God, you're part of His family, that God wants to do something incredible in your life. And I don't know what that is. I pray maybe your heart would be stirred to look at these things and see the need. Maybe, you know, I can't do that, or I'm not in a season for this, or whatever it might be. It's not about what you can or can't do. It's about what God's called you to do, because we can all do something. We can all be an influence in this world, you know, for Jesus. You could cook a meal for a family. Hey, can I babysit for you? Or find out, man, how can we support those that are doing this work, right? How can we, you know, how can we invest in that next generation of kids that are here? Maybe God just wants you to serve in the Sunday school or in the nursery or at the vacation Bible school or whatever it might be. God wants to use your life for His glory and for His purposes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, we've been asked a lot, you know, about this. You know, is this hard, or, you know, all of these kind of things. And we say, yeah, of course it is. And we'll kind of close with this thought. But that's the gospel. That's the gospel. Because you look at the gospel, and the gospel is God leaving heaven, the comfort of heaven, the beauty of heaven, and coming into a lost and broken and hurting world and going to the cross. And that's how He revealed, that's how He demonstrated His love towards us. And Jesus says, as the Father sent me, so send I you into this world. Jesus humbled Himself, and the Bible says, let this mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you. He became a servant. He became obedient to death. And sometimes there's death to self that God wants in our lives. And to be willing to just lay our lives on the altar, say, God, I want the roadmap of my life. I want the building, the house. I want it to be the house that You build. The house that You build, Lord. And God looked at hard things in a hard situation, and He walked right into it. And I think, you know what, God, you've put stuff in front of us that's been hard. You've put maybe half things that are going to be hard. But God, I'm going to walk right into it because that's what You've done. And if it means we're going to be in the fire, then Lord, I know that You're going to be there with us because You were with the three boys in the fire. And we're going to come out, and we ain't going to smell like smoke, even though if it's barbecue smoke, that's a good kind of smoke, you know, to smell like. But you know what? The thing is that God's going to be with us. The Lord is going to be with you. And the gospel flips the script, right? Because our culture is, man, what can I do? How can I be comfortable? And all of that. But Jesus, the kingdom, it's not about what can I do. It's God, You've saved me. You've redeemed me. You've forgiven me. Lord, here's my life. I'll put it in Your hands. And we just want to encourage you today. Put your life in the hands of Jesus. Lord, what do you want? What's your plan? What's your purpose? Maybe you don't know the Lord. Maybe you're here today and somebody brought and you don't know Jesus. Well, it starts with a relationship with Jesus, being born again. Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. And you can have an opportunity to give your life and to start by knowing Jesus, being born again. And then guess what? He wants to build your life. And he's building the lives of a whole lot of people around here. And he wants to continue to do that work. And the work that he began, listen, he's faithful to complete it. He's faithful to complete the work that he started in your life. And I just want to encourage you today, maybe as we worship and close, the guys are going to come up here in a minute, and you might just say, God, work in my heart. Work in my life. I want to be like you. Have your way and let God lead you. Let God direct you. Amen? Let's pray. Yeah. Lord, we think about the gospel. We think about the good news of salvation that you've brought to us, Lord. And Lord, we're blown away by your grace. We're blown away by your love that you saved us and you've redeemed us, Lord. And Lord, you've sent us to be agents of reconciliation in this world, Lord. Lord, to bring the gospel, to bring hope, Lord, to the hopeless. To bring your love and your peace and your grace to those that we encounter in this world. And Lord, we pray that you'd fill our hearts with your love even now. Reveal your plans and your purposes for each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, why don't we stand and we're going to sing together. And if you need prayer, if you don't know Jesus, I'm sure the pastors and elders here would love to pray with you, give you a Bible. Well, let's just sing and worship the Lord.